Again, we were just talking about how great God is.
Yeah.
The things that we see, the things that He's done. What a great God. What an awesome God.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. God.
So good to know that He loves us. And that great God,
yes, sir,
who created those mountains and caused that blue on the water to be so perfect. That great God loves me. So good to know that I'm a God with all that power who loves me.
Yes, sir.
I'd like you to turn your attention just a few moments, if you would, to a portion of scripture that was read earlier. From 2 Peter, beginning with the third verse. As the divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and listen, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. I want to speak with you a little while this morning. Brotherly kindness is a divine virtue. Brotherly kindness is a divine virtue. You know, I was looking at the book as I came in this morning, and each month we've been adding another tile to that picture that makes up a picture of this church. And the reason that we're doing that is because we're in a year that we're going to celebrate our 131st anniversary. Building a church. 131 years. Tile by tile, we're seeing the building as it's put together. But you know, this building, beautiful though it is, and beautiful though the building that was here before this one may have been, and as special as that building is around on Liberty Street where the church began, that's really not the church. Because the church is not a building. The church is all of us. And so when Jesus looked to building a church, He didn't try to find a place on Liberty Street or Loudon Street. The church was built on something more special than that. I remember as I read the scripture, it said that when Jesus came to the coast Caesarea Philippi.
Yeah.
He asked the disciples, "Who do the men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Mm. And they went through some things. And as they answered the questions, it got to the point where Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. That was the beginning of knowing that Jesus is the Son of the living God.
Yeah.
That's the foundation. If you really believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, and you go on and take that next step, and accept Him as your Lord and your Savior and give yourself over to Him, the church is starting to be built.
All right, now.
You know, that building, this building now, we look at it and we say, well, it's about done now. Everything seems to be, every now and then we may have to paint it a little bit. But the building is in place. But the church, I'm talking about you me.
Yeah,
the church is still under construction.
Yeah, all right.
And what it's being made up of and what it's being built on is Jesus Christ and His virtues. You see, if you go to Peter, you see Peter is telling us that somehow all those things that he listed there, Paul listed when he talked to us, all those gifts and all of those fruit, all those things make us more and more like Jesus. Those virtues that he listed, those virtues that Paul talked about, of those fruit that Paul talked us about. All of those things, as we look at them, we become more and more and more like Jesus based on those gifts.
Yeah.
We need those gifts. We need the virtue. And somehow, if we look at ourselves, we'll say, well, I'm getting stronger in the Lord. We're getting stronger in the Lord as we know more about Him.
Yeah.
We're getting more stronger in the Lord as we try to be more like Him.
Right.
Sometimes there are folks say, when I find myself in a situation, I can say, what would Jesus do? And when I say, what would Jesus do, what I'm really saying is, I know that Jesus would do the right thing because of who Jesus is. Well, you know what? As we grow in all of those different areas, we become more like Jesus and doing what Jesus would do becomes more natural. It becomes more natural to us to do the right thing, to love like Jesus loved. You know, sometimes it's not easy to love folks because of things they do, the way that they act, the way they treat you. Somehow it's kind of hard to love them. But you know, you got to love them anyhow. You know, one of the main, one of the most difficult things perhaps us to do is to be kind to somebody who has been unkind to us. You know, sometimes you try, you say, I try to do them right.
But
somehow, I just can't help but remember what they just did last week. I can remember that how they talked with somebody got on the phone and told me what they said about me. And I want to be kind to them, but it's not easy. But you know, when we talk about that Samaritan who was on the road, let's just talk about that just a little bit. Because Jesus was giving us an example then of how you have to be kind. And I'm pulling out kind right now because kindness is the virtue that we want to talk about today. Kindness is that gift that we're talking about. As I said, over these 12 months, we're going to be talking about different gifts and different fruit. And we're going to focus, as the young men said earlier, young men and ladies said earlier, we're going to focus on kindness.
Yes, sir.
I suppose of all the gifts and of all the different virtues that we're talking about, one that seems to be most obvious is, in fact, kindness.
Yep.
It's easy to see kindness.
That's right.
And it's easy to tell when it's real as well.
Yeah.
Well, now let's just talk about that man on the road who walked down the road. He was on his way from Jerusalem down to Jericho.
Well, all right.
When Jesus put this together and told him this, he was very, very thoughtful about what he told them and how he put it together, because there's meaning in all of this.
Yeah.
They were on their way from Jerusalem to Jericho.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all of those who Jesus was talking to knew about that road.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see, Jerusalem was about 2,500 feet above sea level. And Jericho was about 800 feet below sea level.
Right now.
So even though Jericho and Jerusalem are only about 15 miles apart, that road is about 35 miles. It's 35 miles of winding road. Down that road you go, you find that there are curves. You go around the curve, you don't know what you're going to find around the corner. As a matter of fact, on that road, uh-huh. it was very easy for somebody to hide out. And that's what had happened to this man.
Yeah.
Somebody had hidden around the corner and jumped out and beat him up and took everything he had and left him for dead.
That's right.
So now he's on the road. This is a Jew, and I don't know whether he had, was on his way down to Jericho for vacation, because they call it also the City of Palms. This is a beautiful place. It's down, it's not too far from the Jordan River, it's not too far from the Dead Sea, but it's an area where it's beautiful. And so people from Jerusalem would go down there to enjoy themselves. And I don't know whether he was on there on his way to enjoy himself or whether he was on his way for business, but he was on his way down that winding road when somebody beat him up, took everything that he had, and left him for dead.
Yeah.
Now, as we go on, there were two folks who came by. There was a priest that came by.
Yeah.
We'll say a preacher. But let's just bring it into church. We'll say a preacher came down the road.
That's right.
And as the preacher came down the road, this is somebody I can't help but think had said, you need to love your brother as yourself.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm sure he had told folks that.
Yeah,
I know he had gone
to
the scripture and knew it was there.
Uh-huh.
And somehow he went on by his brother. This was somebody who was also a Jew who would look to this man for spiritual leadership and certainly have thought that he would have helped him if he were there on the road.
Yeah.
But the priest went on by.
Yeah.
Now, not to you now, but the deacon came by now.
Yeah. Okay.
Also a part.
Yeah.
Maybe he had actually seen him that very morning.
Right.
But he didn't stop and take care of him. Instead, he went to the other side of the road.
Let's
just talk about this a little bit. I can't help but think that the priest probably felt he had good reason.
Yeah.
He probably thought, now, this is probably a setup. We're right here at this corner where no people come back. And he's probably laying there like that. He's really all right.
And
if I go over there, I know I'm going to get beat up. Don't think I'll do that.
Mm.
Went on the other. Excuse. We just find excuses.
That's all right.
For not doing what we know we ought to do. But
right.
The scripture tells me that another man came by after the deacons and after the priest had come by. And this man was a Samaritan. We need to look at that real close to realize that the Jews didn't have dealings with the Samaritans.
That's right.
So if anybody would have an excuse for not going over to help, that Samaritan would have had an excuse. But the scripture said he had compassion.
Yes, sir.
Somehow he looked beyond the differences. He looked on beyond the political differences and the spiritual differences and all the other things that would have kept him from going over there. He looked beyond that.
Like
Jesus looked beyond his faults, looked beyond the problems, looked beyond the differences, and saw the need.
Yes,
and he went on and did everything he could for that man. He went over and he took his money to give to the hotel man, somebody said. I think it was a Sheridan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He said, I've done everything that I can now. I put him on my mule and brought him here.
Yeah.
I fed him and took care of him over the night. And now I'm going to give you 2 days' wages.
Yes, sir.
And when I come back again, if it takes more than that, I'll give you more.
That's right.
Kindness.
Yes, sir.
Kindness. Somehow we can see kindness. We can see kindness in Christians. Of all the different traits and all the different things that we have, one of the things that we can say, that's a Christian. That's a good Christian. We can see the kindness.
Yeah.
We can see how they treat one another.
How
they reach out to one another.
Sir.
But somehow we're so much like those deacons and priests.
Come on.
But we find excuses not to reach out. We find excuses not to do all that God would have us to do. Jesus told, when he told that lawyer that you go and do the same, he didn't mean you go stand on the Jericho Road or go down the Jericho Road and find somebody and help them out. Chances were he'd never see somebody on the Jericho Road. What he was saying was, you treat one another, regardless of who they are, as if they're your brother.
Amen.
to everybody with love.
Amen.
In fact, that's what you need to be, kind of compassionate.
Yes.
Love. All of this is a part of being a Christian. It's a part of our growth. All of the gifts that we've talked about, all the things that the things that the Holy Spirit is giving to us to make us more and more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to try to be what he would have me to be. And the Holy Spirit is giving us those gifts. Little by little, we're becoming more and more like the Lord. I'll never be all that Jesus is. I know that. But I want to have those divine, as Peter called it, those divine virtues. Those things that make us more like the Lord. Those gifts. And from the time that you said yes to the Lord, from the time you stepped into the aisle and came down and let everybody know you were on the Lord's side, from that time you've been indwelled with the Holy Spirit. I got some good news for you. The Holy Spirit is working on you
right now.
Yeah, I know this is like, I got a long way to go. And you know what? I've been in church a long time. I've got a long way to go. But the Holy Spirit is indwelling you. And you're getting stronger, stronger every day. You're becoming more and more what the Lord would have you to be. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. The Holy Spirit turns you into somebody that you aren't, not like you used to be, but what the Lord would have you to be. The Holy Spirit is working on you. When you said you were on the Lord's side, the Holy Spirit became a part of your life. The Holy Spirit became something that was going, or somebody that was going to touch you in every situation. No matter what you're going through, because you got the Holy Spirit, you get stronger in the Lord. All of those gifts and all of those things that the Holy Spirit does in you makes you become closer to him. Your relationship with the Lord becomes stronger. No matter what it is you're facing, because the Holy Spirit touches you in such a way that it'll make you stronger. The Holy Spirit will make you able to be kind to somebody. The Holy Spirit will make you be able to love somebody. The Holy Spirit will make you be able to go through a situation, even though things are going very bad, and you look at it and say, I'm glad I came through it. I'm glad the Lord was with me. I'm glad the Lord was on my side.
Hallelujah.
I knew I could make it because the Lord was with me. The Holy Spirit reminds you that the Lord won't leave you alone. The Holy Spirit lets you know about the love that the Lord has.
Thank you, God.
I get stronger every time I go through something.
Yes, sir.
I get better every time I face a problem. I trust the Lord more every time he brings me out. The Holy Spirit makes me know that I can depend on the God of the universe for the situation I'm going through. I don't have to call somebody. He's already right there. I don't have to look for him, but he's already right there. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when you you stood on that rock like Peter.
Yes, sir.
And we were able to say, I know that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Right then, you were indwelled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
The third one, the Father, Son, and
yes,
the Holy Spirit continues to indwell you. No matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, the Holy Spirit is there to do what the Lord wanted him to do. He gave us the Holy Spirit so that we might become more like him. He gave us the Holy Spirit so that no matter what situation we're in, we might be able to handle it like the Lord. No matter who we're going around or who we're with, we can treat them the way the Lord would.
That's right.
Because we've been indwelled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
those gifts that we talked about and the fruit that we talked about, all of those are things that by touching us make us more of what the Lord would have us to be.
Thank you, God.
I'm not all the Lord wants me to be. He's not through with me yet. He's not through with you yet.
That's right. That's right.
But you need to recognize that he's working with you. He's working with you. He's working with you. He's changing you.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
He's changing you.
Yes, God.
I looked at my feet, somebody said, and they were dead in
there. Yes, yes, sir.
I guess you might say I'm running for the Lord now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I look at my hands, and they're new too. I don't mind reaching out and helping somebody.
Yes, sir. That's right.
No matter what part of me you look at, you're going to find that it's been changed.
Yeah.
Because it's not all about me. The Samaritan, it's not, those things that he had were his. That was his wine that he used to medicate the soul.
Right. That's right.
And that was his money that he used to spend to pay for that man's stay.
That's right.
All the things, it was his time, his mule.
That's right.
And it wasn't because he was trying to do so people would say, well, he's a good man. Not only was there nobody to say that, he wasn't expecting that. What he did was because of compassion, because of love, because of the fact that he felt he wanted to do something for somebody who needed it. You know what? We talk about needing. And sometimes we go, oh, you know what? I know some folks that need some money. I know some folks. Well, I know some folks that need the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And you know some folks that need the Lord.
Yes, sir.
You know some folks that somehow, they feel like they tried to do things right and things just haven't happened. And Satan's really got a hold of them. He's having a good time with them. And they were on that road, maybe not the Jericho road, but life is a winding, long road. There's some folks that are on this road.
Come on, come on.
And they've gone through some situations.
Yes, sir.
And somehow Satan has sort of kicked them to the curb.
Yeah.
And Jesus is able to change them.
Yes, sir.
But you need to let them know who Jesus is.
Hallelujah.
You need to let somebody who's been kicked to the curb know that Jesus is able to bring them through and bring them out of that situation. Somebody who Satan has really messed up real bad. Somebody who's totally disappointed with life.
My Lord.
You need to reach out and let them know, I know somebody.
Somebody.
I know somebody.
Yeah.
I know somebody.
Hallelujah.
I know somebody who's able to change your situation.
Yes, sir.
I know that you're going through something. I can't say that I know all that you're going and all that you're feeling, but I can tell you this. I know somebody who does know all that you're going through. I know somebody who is able to bring I guess I'm saying what Jesus would have us to do is to do what that Samaritan did. Go beyond those barriers that
that's
might keep you from reaching out to somebody.
Yes,
that person that just can't put that bottle down. That person who seems to find joy in the drugs. That person who seems to do things that you know are outside of the will of God. That person that Satan seems to just have his arms all around. Somebody, you need to reach out to. You're on that road. And you are like that Samaritan.
Well,
and there's somebody that you don't need to just walk by. Then there's somebody going to stop taking care of. I'm going to walk on by. They got some close fans are closer than I am, and I know they'll stop and take care of them. You need to make sure that if you're given the opportunity,
yes, sir. Hallelujah.
On that road,
well,
if you're on the Jericho road,
yes,
and you see somebody that Satan has kicked to the curb,
yes, sir.
Somebody who's going through more than they can handle, somebody who doesn't realize that there's a God who can bring them through,
well,
and the Lord will bring them out of that situation.
Yeah.
Now you need to stop long enough. And give them a little bit of what you got. I'm not talking about pouring wine on that woman. I'm talking about giving them a little bit of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Testify by what he's going to do. I was there once. I'm getting myself, Lord.
Yeah.
Lord is good.
Yes, he is.
is.
The Lord is good. The Lord's been good to me.
Yes, he has.
That Samaritan brother, he's been blessed. He stopped and blessed that man who was on the side of the road.
My God.
You've been blessed.
Yes.
You can't walk out of this church and just leave your blessing here.
All right.
You need to testify to somebody.
Yes, sir.
Somebody who's on the side of the road who needs that brotherly kindness.
Yes, sir.
Just take long enough to let them know that God cares. No, no more than that. If they put themselves in God's hand,
thank you.
Get them up over that curve. Put them on their feet again.
Yeah.
Give them a testimony.
So thank you.
Carry that word just like you. I guess I'm challenging all of us.
Right.
It's not just something the preacher needs to do.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, Pastor.
Preachers, you know you need to do.
Yeah.
And not just the deacons.
That's right, Pastor.
Yeah. But all of us who are part of the household of faith, when we go down from here, need to look and make sure we're not just passing somebody who Satan has picked to the curb.
Yeah.
Somebody who's there dying, if you will, on the Jericho Road. Let us talk to Jesus. Oh, our Father and our loving God, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for the gifts. Because, Father, we know that every gift and all of the fruit that Paul talks about and Peter talks about, all those gifts are to give us divine virtue, to make us more like the Lord.
Yes.
It may take us a while to get to the level where we feel like we're growing. But Father, somehow all of us who've given ourselves over to the Lord, I ask that each one who's here, Father, you remind them that not only do you know who they are, but you're watching them grow. And the Spirit of the Lord is touching their lives.
Thank you, God.
And their lives are touching the lives of others around them.
Yes, God.
Because they're willing to testify about your goodness and testify about your love. We thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for your love.
Yes.
We thank you for the Holy Spirit.
Yes, God.
That dwells us.
Oh, thank you.
We thank you, Father, for the church, this building. But we thank you, Father, even more for the church, this household of faith, as we grow stronger and stronger.
Stronger, God.
And closer and closer.
Closer and closer.
To you.
Yes, God.
A relationship.
Yes.
With the God of the universe.
Yes, God.
Thank you for your love.
Thank you.
Thank you for Jesus.
Thank you for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand. Let us stand. My Lord. So good to know that Jesus looked beyond our faults, looked beyond the things that would have caused him to back away from us. Look beyond those faults and fulfill our needs. There's somebody who needs to hear from you. And I ask that you go down to the place and think about that. But we ask also right now that you look at yourself and realize how blessed you are. If you've already accepted Jesus. Because there are things about you that you could not fix, things you could not change. But Jesus is changing you right now. The Holy Spirit is gifting you with the traits that make you more and more like Jesus Christ. But you know, there are some here who perhaps have not yet said yes to the Lord. It's so easy. So easy to just recognize who he is because of all he's already done. It's difficult to not recognize who God is. As I said, as we flew over those mountains, we knew that God is a powerful, mighty God. You've seen his work. And you recognize that Jesus Christ is the Son of that living God. If you believe that, and you want to give yourself over to him and become a part of what Jesus would have you to be, a part of his household, why don't you step into the aisle now and come on down. Why don't you come on and say to this congregation, to those who are here, I've decided to make Jesus my choice. Is there somebody who wants to say yes? As I've said, you don't have to wait till you're perfect. Nobody's perfect. You know you're not going to wait till you think you've got it right.
No, no.
Jesus can make it right. He'll give us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when he indwells in us, will give us those special gifts to make you more and more what the Lord would have you to be. Is there somebody who wants to say yes to the Lord today? He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. My Lord. My Lord. So we ought to do and take the hand of somebody who's beside you. If there's nobody beside you, why don't you move? Reach forward or reach back. Somehow to see like this. We're holding hands.